Which one is harder to win, candidates or a world championship match?
Candidates. I think it's simple numbers. In the candidates, you have 8 players, and everyone has, of course, a different shot, right? Different probability of winning, but everyone has a certain probability. And let's say you take one of the top players, maybe they have a 10 to 15% chance. Maybe if Magnus were playing, we would say that he has a 40% chance of winning. But everyone takes a certain percentage. So if everyone is equal, then everyone has a little bit over a 12% chance, right? But it's going to be pretty low for most players. It's going to be pretty, pretty low. In a match, if I'm playing Ding, and let's just go by ratings and not by, form, and people will, of course, argue over that, but let's just go by ratings, then I'm a bit higher rated. I have an over a 50% chance. If we're equal, I have a 50% chance. There's no world where I have a 50% chance of winning candidates, and the only person you could argue has a 50% chance is Magnus. And I think even that, I don't know if he would be given 50%.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, by the numbers, definitely seems to be the candidates, for sure. For sure.
So I don't think another argument can be made than that. If you had me play World Championship match every year, I would win a certain amount, I would lose a certain amount. But if you had me play candidates every single year, I would maybe win 15 to 20% at the very most.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 20%. I would be pretty proud of that. That's actually, I think, what I've won. I've won 1 out of 5, right? Which is 20%. So I don't think that's crazy. Maybe I could have won 2 out of 5, right? It was possible. But I don't think that anything more than 2 out of 5 was realistic.
I mean, okay.
I was never really...
Nepog won 2 out of 3 or something like that.
Yeah, of course, there's going to be outliers.
He's a huge outlier.
I mean, he also lost 100% of his world championship matches, but it's... again, he has better than 0% to win a world championship match, and he is better than 100% to win... he has worse than 100% or 66% to win candidates. I mean, it's just very small sample size. Like, I would say Jan, if he played candidates right now against the top 7 in the rating list, taking out Magnus, then he would have around 10 to 12% chance of winning. 10 to 15, maybe, something like that, which is reasonable. I don't mean this as a dig at him. That's a perfectly good amount for a top player to have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you played a world championship match against Ding, I would consider him a favorite, not a huge favorite, but a favorite of sorts. If he played Gukesh, I would consider it about 50-50. Jan against Gukesh in a world championship match, about 50-50. just to give some examples of players who have played and are going to play world championship matches.
Right, right. Now, obviously, that do you take into account previous world champions' performances when you do those percentages? Because, okay, let's say we're taking Magnus. Yeah, he won 100% of his previous matches, which were quite a few. 4 matches before his last one. 5 now, yeah? So let's say Magnus was still playing the world championship match. Like, how would you put him in terms of percentages based on the fact that he already has 1-5, like he has 100%.
I'm not going to look at the past matches too much.
You don't think that influences?
I'm going to look at his general winning record, and it depends on his opponent. He would be, because again, one of those matches was in 2013, another match was in 2014. It's a long time ago.
Yes,
he would of course be a heavy favorite against anyone, but yeah, there would be people who have a reasonable shot against him. And it depends a lot on who it is, right? Like, I think if Ding were playing Magnus, probably nearing 0% chance to win the match.
Well, currently, yes.
Oh, yeah, of course. But I'm talking about current players. I can't go back in the past. Okay, 2019 Ding, of course, he was very, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
He still is very strong, but of course it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it were like Gukesh, someone super motivated, I still consider Magnus a pretty big favorite, but we're looking at more reasonable odds, something like 70-30 maybe, right?
Yeah. And it could also work against him, actually. You know, it could very well work for him, for Magnus, for the champion, for the current champion, let's say. Let's assume Magnus is a champion, right? But it could also work against him because you're losing motivation, as we've seen with Magnus. Whenever you defend all the time and all the time, it's not a new experience. You don't get the same motivation, or at least you need to work harder to get the same type
of feelings. But the thing is, like, for Magnus, the motivation, lack of motivation led to him just not playing.
Yes.
If he were playing, I think he would still have motivation to not lose, not play badly. But let's focus on the Armageddon game, because it's happening.
Yes.
They have started. It's about Boris is white.
Boris is white.
He got 10 versus 7.
10 versus 7, I think, was the bid. Obviously, Vincent has draw outs. And the opening didn't go very well for our,
but it's not bad. I mean, Boris. It's a tough position, so it's a fight. It's not good for white objectively, but I would say the objective evaluation will not matter so much in the coming. Like, the decision making is going to make the difference.
Yep.
Mostly like playing reasonable moves quickly. You could do that with white. That you have a lot of kind of easy moves, like rook to e1, for example, with e3 ideas potentially. With black, you have probably a better position, but maybe the moves are a bit more difficult to come by because you can't really play f5. Like, I mean, you can, but it looks like it's weakening. You can't play e4 so easily. You can't really move your bishop or your knight from d6 or c6 without, like,
f5 on the board. But no,
because you needed to find a useful move, and f5 was like the kind of logical move, but it's a bit weakening too. So that's why I said maybe like white's play is a bit easier. But now after f5, white feels like, okay, I need to do something. And so it's very logical to play e3, for example. Very, very much a move that comes to mind, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And it's probably not a good move. He wants to play b4. He wants to play b4.
He could have played b4 before. Like before queen b2. Before.
before queen b2.
Yes. Queen b2.
But I don't know. I mean, b4. You have to see, like, I don't know, maybe that leads to a simplified position. It might not be a good decision also, because there's a... sorry, one second.
Yeah, queen b2, try to go b4. I mean, this actually looks very decent from a practical perspective, given that you're already up on time. Like, this is the type of position that you want to have in an Armageddon game with white. If you cannot have, like, a better position, obviously, a nice advantage would be nice, but...
Yeah.
This type of complicated position can swing very quickly.
Yeah, so he's up 2 minutes, and Vincent is taking his time here. He didn't want to strike with e4. I don't blame him. That's a difficult decision to make. After b4, what does he want? Because b4 threatens c5.
He has to go b4.
I would guess he wants to take in b6. That's my guess.
Yep.
But then b6, okay, e4. Because b6, you have to calculate knight h4. It was a bit tricky. So now c5. And if okay. C5 was a very important move, I think. But he wants to take on d4. Logical.
He just wants to take the pawn.
I think this is a 50-50 game. I can see it going either way. FE4, you have to play quickly. But he's probably thinking about d3, ed3, and then bishop f3, bishop b5, and sacking.
Just go crazy.
Sacking.
That actually looks a bit tempting. You're going to have at least the opposite color bishops. So even two pawns down, this could, with a nice bishop on d4, after knight d4, knight takes, could easily be holdable for black.
I don't know. I don't like this. Because knight d4, bishop b5, e3. You have to play concretely with black down a pawn. And I don't think that it's so easy to take and then play e3 here. And if you don't do it,
he didn't.
Then white... Well, no, I mean, after e3, like, black should take and play e3.
Oh, yeah.
But I would think queen f6 is maybe the most logical. But then, okay, bishop f3, not a bad move. So now c5 is a very... Like, you should play c5 quickly because it opens up the idea of queen b3 check. So it's one of those moves that just creates threats with no downside. Mm-hmm. Because queen b3, knight e6, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of course, I do see the chess.com mention, so it's not like I'm a genius saying these moves, but when I see the move, it really comes to mind. I think I would play that.
I like c5.
What's the time? 5-2. C5 quickly. Boris,
yeah,
it's...
Yeah, 5-2.5. I mean, double the time. Decent chances. Decent chances for Boris to swindle this one.
I mean, not even swindle. Just, like, it's an equal position. I mean, the thing is, he doesn't want to play C5 because black will take in queen D7, and then black does regain the pawn. So, but he does it. Good decision. King H8, also good move. Yeah, it's a bit difficult for white to find moves here.
How long are you gonna play chess for? When do you plan to retire, Fabi?
I don't know.
Magnus said that he's gonna stop whenever he doesn't enjoy chess anymore.
Yeah, it seems reasonable. I enjoy chess. I have no reason to stop.
Like, probably kind of the same. Yeah, whenever you stop enjoying it, that's probably time to call it.
I don't see myself not enjoying it. Okay, I really like what Boris is doing. He took on f3. That was a gutsy decision, but he's forcing the onus. The onus is on black to prove the compensation now after rook fd1. But he should play rook fd1 quickly. You can't, like, it's scary that your king is sort of in a mating net, but you can't fear ghosts.
I mean, you already made the decision, take on f3.
Okay, rook AD1, but rook FD1 was more logical. Like, why rook AD1? Because you need the queen to go to F1 to protect against queen H3.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a bit strange. He just doesn't see black getting there, I guess.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, for example, queen G6, queen D3. Right? Yeah, queen G4. First. But then if queen D3, I take, and rook takes D4.
Yes.
And queen D4, queen H3 is checkmate. So that regains the pawn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But very scary situation for black, because you're down a pawn, you have to prove it. If you make vague moves, you maybe end up just down a pawn.
Yeah.
So, yeah, also...
He went for now, it, is the problem. Rook and F1. I think once you play queen g6, you kind of know that you're going for this. Rook fe1, and then queen g4, queen c4, yeah?
Yeah, then after bishop d4, ed4, or rook d4, there's no... sacrifice of the rook.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely, I mean, Boris is not, he's playing a good Armageddon game, I would say, so far. The nice thing about queen c4 is that it threatens queen e6 ideas.
Ooh.
But there's rook takes d4, there's tactics, so maybe you don't really threaten. But yeah, Boris definitely needs to play rook queen c4, rook fe1, and quickly.
Show some nice tactics. Queen to e6 doesn't work here because of rook takes d4. Take. So that's...
I'm not sure I like this move. Okay, but Vincent is speeding up. At least King H1 was probably a surprise.
Rook D5, okay.
Yeah, he's playing much faster than Boris.
I mean, Boris still has 3 minutes against the minute 30, so still double time.
Yeah, but that goes quickly, very quickly.
That goes by fast. Yeah, the big question is, how do you defend against the checkmating threats that are coming? And bishop takes D4, rook H5 now is starting to become bit of an issue.
Well, you always have rook takes d4, so that's not really a scary one. Like queen c4, if rook d8, some move, bishop d4, rook d4 always.
Queen c2, okay.
Yeah, this is forcing queen g4, which is not what you want. Okay, he has knight b3 in mind, I guess. But that's scary looking. Maybe he doesn't have knight b3 in mind. Maybe he just wants to play rook g1. But now it's like, it's random territory. You just make a random move, and it will... It'll probably be better than thinking. Like, rook g1 here, just play quickly and... Like, okay, you just need to play quickly at this point.
Knight b3. He's really finding the best moves. He's spending too much time. He's spending too much time on it. Rook d8, okay. Just seems like Vincent...
Normally you trade on d5, right? And rook g1.
Yeah.
But maybe knight d2 comes to mind.
Knight d2. What's the problem with knight d2?
Okay, bishop c3. I don't know if I see him finding that. Because the point is that queen c3,
oh, wait.
Queen h3, rook g1, queen h2.
Oh, this is sick. This is sick. Let's see if he finds it. Huge moment right now. Bishop c3 wins on the spot. But it's a ridiculous tactic. This is a ridiculous tactic. Yeah, of course. h5.
Yeah, I told you. It's random territory. Okay, h5 is definitely... Definitely off. Okay, rook g1 very quickly. That's an excellent practical decision. Knight to e4, I predict here. After bishop f6, knight to e4 is the most logical move.
Mm-hmm.
Just play it quickly.
Knight e4, play.
Bishop e7, logical. Knight c3, I predict.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which also looks like a fine move to me. Pretty okay, fine. Now he'll play rook e5. I know. But now he allows queen e4. Queen e4 is very tempting. Oh, okay, he's going for knight e5. I like it.
Knight
d4. Oh, okay.
Ooh, that's a nice knight.
Now, why is he thinking? Why are you thinking
bishop f6?
It doesn't matter. Knight f5. Just play knight d4. You'll figure it out after.
Yeah, knight f5. Yeah.
I see him winning this now. But you see, the time is very close. But the knight on d6 is like a monster. I mean, I think Vincent is just going to like start to collapse on his position. Queen b4, he'll play maybe. The knight d6.
Queen f5 or queen g6, that's it. Queen g6 wins. Queen g6, queen g4, queen e8, king h7, knight f7 probably wins.
Wait. Are you seeing moves? I'm not seeing any moves.
Rook d7 is the last move. Queen g6, queen g4.
Oh, yeah. I just like down for a second.
Oh, no. He's going for knight f7, but that's
probably knight f7 was.
Knight e4. Still
okay,
anything
yeah.
can happen.
Queen e8 was a miss.
Still anything can happen.
No, bishop e7 is tough. Queen f7 is a brilliant move. But it's hard to find that. Because your knight's hanging. But you pick up the rook on d7. Yeah, I think he's going to get flagged. Or is he getting flagged here?
If he actually finds queen f7, I mean, that's going to be a stroke of genius. Queen c8, okay.
But the thing is, Vincent is so much faster. So he's...
Yeah.
Yeah, this is over.
Yeah.
I mean, he's actually playing pretty well. Knight d2. Maybe I underestimate Boris. King h2, at least your moves are easy.
What?
Knight c4.
Oh, no. He missed.
Okay. No, but it's random moves. Rook f1. Come on, rook f1. Knight f3.
Oh, still in
it. He has easy moves now.
Still in it.
Easy move. King h2. King h2. King h3. King g2.
Knight d4.
Rook c1. Rook c1.
Oh, rook c1. Oh, he might be winning this.
King f1. King f1. Oh, he's going to win this.
Holy smokes. He's
Take
winning it.
Take 91.
He's
free
winning
move,
it.
Free move for us. Rook c2. Free move.
Oh
free
my
move,
goodness,
please.
He's winning it.
Free move. No, he's not going to free move.
He's winning it. It's all good. It's all
but
good.
But he's not free
he
moving.
He doesn't
not,
need
it's not all good. It's
he. He has
what
it.
What do you mean? He needs to free move.
Oh, wait. He's on
what
1 second.
Mean?
I just realized.
Yeah,
he's on...
I'm telling you. He's getting flagged. What do you mean he has it? He's getting free move. He's getting. He doesn't free move.
I thought there's increment.
No, it's Armageddon.
There's no increment.
I told you he's gonna get flagged. He's not pre-moving.
No.